Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is taken from the portion of scripture lesson from Acts chapter 12. Angels enjoy a certain amount of popularity even in our modern day culture. We're exposed to the concept of angels in many different ways at many different levels. For example, the entertainment business has found a place for angels in various television and movie productions that have been released over the years. Not long ago, there was that popular TV series, Touched by an Angel, where people whose lives were troubled and distressed received special help from angels. There's also been a number of movies that have had angels play an important part in the story. Movies like Angels in the Outfield, where a struggling baseball team has a winning season thanks to the help of angels. Of course, there's that classic Christmas movie entitled It's a Wonderful Life, where Clarence, a guardian angel, comes to the rescue of George Bailey. We also come across the notion of angels in some rather strange and unexpected places. When you go to the grocery store, you find products such as angel food cake, angel hair pasta. Of course, there's the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang that's in a category all by itself. In art museums, you find many beautiful paintings and sculptures of angels adorned with wings and trumpets and rosy cheeks and curly blonde hair. Even among the various religions of the world, the belief in angels is part of their theological tradition that has been handed down for years. For example, the Mormon religion was founded upon an alleged appearance of the angel Moroni to Joseph Smith. Likewise, the religion of Islam claims that divine revelation came to the prophet Muhammad with the help of the angel Gabriel. In many of the Jewish apocalyptic writings of the Second Temple period, there's a very intense interest in angels. In our modern American culture, every year at Christmas time, we see depictions of angels all over the place, in shopping malls, Christmas trees, even propped up on people's lawns and front porches. Most people will recognize a picture of an angel when they see one, and certainly Christians are not the only ones who claim to believe in angels. To a certain extent, the secular world can tolerate the concept of angels as friendly beings that somewhere exist out there, as long as you don't take these things too seriously. But what about the scriptures? How do they portray the angels? What do the writings and the prophets of the apostles tell us? In our scripture lesson this morning from the 12th chapter of Acts, we see how the angels of God fulfill two very different roles. In verses 19 to 23, we have the account of the death of Herod Agrippa I, the king of Judea. Herod was giving a speech in the city of Caesarea. The Jewish historian Josephus provides us with some more interesting and additional information. Josephus tells us that these royal robes that Herod was wearing were woven of silver thread, which of course would brightly shimmer and glisten when exposed to the sun. And so apparently after seeing this sight and hearing the speech, the people in the crowd began to flatter the king as a divine person. When the audience shouted out that they were hearing the voice of a god rather than that of a man, Herod accepted their acclamation of praise without giving glory to God. And as Luke records, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms. And so here's an example of someone who was touched by an angel, but it proved to be a deadly blow rather than a helping hand. Obviously, the angels don't always bring divine blessings to all people on this earth. The holy angels of God sometimes are sent into the world to carry out the wrath and the punishment of God upon sinful men. We see this especially in the book of Revelation. In the 8th chapter, there are 7 angels with 7 trumpets who call down divine judgments on the earth each time the sound of the trumpet is heard. And likewise, in Revelation 16, there are 7 angels with 7 bowls of wrath who pour out vengeance upon the inhabitants of the earth. Even in the Old Testament, angels are employed as divine agents who bring punishment upon the enemies of God. In the 19th chapter of Genesis, the two angels appear to Lot, and they say that God has sent them to destroy the wicked city of Sodom. Looking ahead to the future, Jesus says that the angels will participate in the judgment that takes place on the last day when Christ returns in all his glory. Jesus says that the angels will act as reapers who will separate out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. In our text from the 12th chapter of Acts, we also have the example of God's angels coming to the aid and the defense of God's holy people. The Apostle Peter had been arrested by King Herod, and he was thrown in prison after Herod saw that the murder of James was pleasing to the unbelieving Jews. And Herod placed Peter in prison under the guard of four squadrons of soldiers. And the night before Peter was to be brought to trial, suddenly an angel appeared and woke Peter as he was sleeping in his cell. And the angel said to Peter, "Get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. And Peter got dressed and followed the angel past the guards, out of the prison, and through the gate which led into the city. After walking down the street for a distance, the angel disappeared. And then Peter, who initially thought that this episode was only a vision, realized that the experience was real. And he declared, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches." This is one of the primary duties of God's holy angels, to guard and protect the people of God. The book of Hebrews declares, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" This verse tells us that God's angels are sent to minister to those who possess the blessings of salvation. And our scripture lesson this morning certainly shows us this great contrast between the angels in their mission of mercy to those who are saved, as opposed to the angels in their mission of judgment to those who do not believe. Luke, the author of Acts, is pointing out the difference between Peter, who was saved by an angel, and Herod, who was killed by an angel. The apostle Peter is seen as a friend of the angels, and Herod is shown to be their enemy. And so why the difference? What makes one a friend or an enemy of God's angels? Jesus Christ makes the difference. It depends on one whether one is a friend or an enemy of Jesus Christ. The followers of Christ enjoy the protection of his holy angels, especially as they serve the mission of his kingdom. The enemies of Christ find that they're fighting that invisible battle against the heavenly armies of God's mighty angels. For it is only by the blood of Christ that we are justified from all of our sins and we appear holy and righteous in the eyes of God. Through our baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ, we are made the children of God and we enjoy the protection of his holy angels. By the grace and mercy of Christ, the angels have become our protective companions. Now, if we look closely at the earthly life of Jesus Christ, we discover that he was the ultimate friend and companion of the angels. You'll remember how the angels rejoiced and sang praises to God at the birth of Christ into this world. The angels were there to guard and protect the Holy Family as a jealous king attempted to destroy the life of the Christ child. The angels came to the side of our Lord to tend to his needs after his temptation in the wilderness for 40 days. An angel appeared to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him in his moment of great agony before his hour of suffering and death. The angels were there to announce the news that Christ had risen from the dead on that first Easter morning. In fact, it was an angel who removed the stone from the empty tomb to show the whole world the body of Jesus was no longer in the grave. Even at our Lord's ascension into heaven, the angels were there to assure the disciples that the same Jesus would come back again someday. And Jesus said that the angels will accompany him on the last day when he returns to this earth in heavenly glory. And now that Christ is seated at the right hand of God as the risen Lord, all things have been placed under his authority, including the service of God's holy angels. However, the angels are not unwilling servants of Jesus Christ. The angels gladly and willingly submit to his authority. As we read in the vision of the fifth chapter of Revelation, the thousands upon thousands of angels encircle the throne of God where the Lamb of God is standing. And they cry out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." The angels worship Christ as the Lamb of God who was slain for unworthy sinners, for now he is truly worthy of their worship, honor, and praise. Not only do the angels worship Christ in the presence of God, they're very much interested in the work and mission of Christ's church here on earth. Jesus says that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. The angels truly rejoice in the proclamation of the gospel that brings salvation to repentant sinners. The Apostle Paul implies in his first letter to the Corinthians that the angels observe Christian men and women in their worship of the Lord. Peter writes that the angels have longed to see the prophecies of Christ fulfilled ever since the days of the Old Testament prophets. The angels truly care for the church of Jesus Christ, and God has assigned them to be ministering spirits to guard and keep those who will inherit the gift of eternal life. The protecting presence of God's angels, as it's revealed in Scripture, gives comfort and peace to us, especially as we fulfill our God-given calling and vocation in life. As Peter fulfilled his calling as a preacher of the gospel, he was rescued by the angels from the evil plans of those who were the enemies of the gospel. And likewise, we can go about serving the Lord in our calling, in our vocation in life, with the assurance that Christ will send his holy angels to be with us, especially as we carry out the work of his kingdom. Those called by Christ to preach and teach the gospel can be comforted knowing that the angels will be there to protect us as we faithfully do the task that has been given to us. Whether you find yourself traveling from one preaching or teaching assignment to another, the angels will be with you. When you're driving alone in the dark to make that late night hospital visit, the holy angels will be with you as your companions. When you're visiting the sick or those shut-ins who live in that rather dangerous part of town, the angels will not leave you nor forsake you. Whatever your calling or station in life, the angels are there to protect you as you go about your daily task, doing all things for the glory of God. Now, this is not to say that angels, that Christians never get hurt or they never become involved in an accident. The apostles themselves certainly can testify that they faced tragedy and suffering and persecution for the name of Christ even while they were under the protection of God's angels. Certainly, the shipwreck of Paul, the violent deaths of most of the apostles do not take away from the fact that they still received the protection and presence of God's angels. Scripture assures us that even when it is God's will that we are taken from this earth by means of suffering and death, God's angels are still with us, not simply for the protection of the body, but rather to carry the soul into the heavenly presence of God. Ultimately, the angels are there to deliver our soul from the evil one at the moment of death, as they did for Lazarus, that poor beggar, whose soul was carried by the angels of God to the bosom of Abraham. Thanks be to God that through our baptism, we have become the friends and the companions of God's holy angels. And someday we will join them in that heavenly chorus, gathered around the throne, singing praises to Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the salvation of the world. As Martin Luther taught us to pray in his morning and evening prayers, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me,"